This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here on the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us on the line here very, very shortly our good friend Ralph Epperson. And I've known Ralph, I guess, for, well, since the early 1980s, so that's a better part of 20 years. I came up to Santa Cruz. We did some filming of him down at the old community hospital there. And we're going to be talking this evening about the Masonic conspiracy, because it is a conspiracy. And what most people don't understand is there really is organized evil in the world today. And although most Masons are nice people and have no idea what they're into, there is a very small component of people in the upper echelons of Masonry who understand that the foundation of Masonry is anti-Christianity. In fact, there is a stark anti-Christian agenda behind Masonry, and its purpose is to destroy the Christian faith. That's why the Masons on the Supreme Court, who controlled the Supreme Court from 1941 to 1971, and majorities of 5-4 to 8-1, took God in prayer and out of our schools and did everything they could to establish this wall of separation. Why? Because there's an anti-Christian movement. We did a wonderful interview the other evening with Carol Matriciana with her new video, The Gods of Entertainment. And if you haven't seen it, you really need to. It's well worthwhile. Talking about what is Hollywood's goal? Well, most people think it's, of course, to make money, but it really isn't. It's to destroy Christianity. And when you understand that, and then you can understand so much what's going on today, why they're legalizing homosexuality, which is the antithesis of everything that Christianity stands for, why, of course, we're... Thank you. cows and burn them and then feed them to the birds. And why would grown men swear such oaths in this day? Well, let's ask that question to our guest. Hi, Ralph. How are you doing?
Doing fine, Dr. Stan. How are you tonight?
I'm doing fine. Why do grown men get into masonry? What's the appeal to this? And do you think most of them realize that this is an anti-Christian organization when they first enter it?
No. I would agree with that, Dr. Stan. I don't think they know. In fact, they probably, even the ones in the 32nd degree, don't know. It's quite likely. And why do they get into it? I think the major reason is because family connections were involved and there's pressure, there's subtle pressure from family members to continue the membership. If father goes in, then the son should go in as well. That kind of thing. But I doubt whether, especially if father knows, father's not going to tell his son what he's getting into. He has to discover it on his own. I think another reason is the basic reason that people join it, at least the Blue Lodge, is just for business reasons. They protect their own.
Before the Senate, and who should be.
Bobby somebody, we opened the case years later because of the pressure, subtle pressure, I don't think it was direct, but subtle pressure of Mrs. Medgar Evers, who knew that he had been murdered and then had the murder. Thank you. both wearing bright red blazers. I think that's more than coincidence.
Right.
I called Tom McKinney about it and asked him about it. I talked to Tom McKinney, and I don't know him well enough, but at least he was able to take my call for me. And he said that when Jim Shaw, after he became a 32nd degree Mason, after he committed a 32nd degree Mason,
thank you.
Western Pike in Washington, D.C., still there. It was 10 years ago. I presume it's still there. I saw it in 1990, I think it was. I hear some.
Well, go ahead. Just keep talking. Don't do worry. I'll tell you when to be quiet.
Okay, very good. The statue says, they got a plaque on it that says he was the leader of the worldwide Masonic movement. And yet Masons today tell you he was a maverick and a rebel, and he doesn't speak for Masonry.
Well, of course, if you read that book that they passed out to all of them, Beyond the Light, well, that book itself, which is a standard issue to all incoming Masons, talks about how wonderful Albert Pike was. And if you read their Scottish Rite journal, which I did, I think my subscription ran out, but they made it very clear why, of course, Albert Pike is the key to understanding modern-day Masonry. We'll be right back with our special guest after this short break. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Ralph Epperson. Ralph, why don't you continue telling our listeners about the book review of Morals and Dogma, and of course we'll repeat that again when we have all of our listeners back, but tell us a little bit more about why you wrote this book review, what they'll get for nothing just by calling it.
Okay. Well, I had not read this book until about 1984. In fact, I didn't even know about it, but someone recommended it to me. Another one of the students of this subject, and he recommended it, so I got a copy. I went to a used bookstore and bought a copy and brought it home and read it, and I couldn't believe what I was reading. It's staggering. It's probably, in fact, I would dare say it's still the number one book written by any Mason at any time. It used to be given out to every Mason upon the completion of the 14th degree. By the way, that's significant, the 14th. We'll cover that in a minute. So it used to be given out to every Mason after he completed the 14th degree on his way to the 32nd degree. And he was urged to read it. And, of course, it's a very dull and boring book, and it's very difficult to read, but there are some great truths in it. In fact, it might be appropriate. Let me finish now. So I decided that since the book was hard to get, in fact, I can no longer find copies in used bookstores in Tucson, and I have a feeling that since I made it public and people should start reading it, non-Masons especially, that I think Masons now go to bookstores and buy them up when they see them. That's just a guess. I can't say that. Along with you, and the number one guy there, I'll call him the president, asked the vice president, what do you seek for this initiate, or words to that effect? And the number two man says, light, L.
Light.
tells the president of the lodge, with their titles, not those two titles, but he says to him, what do you seek for this man, or what do you ask for him? And he answers, light. Now, the initiate doesn't say that, but the man standing beside him does for him. Now, at the end of that ritual, you'll learn that the light represents the true knowledge of deity. The true knowledge of deity. Now, they don't explain what that means. And they don't want you to. They're not going to explain what it means. So now, you don't learn what that true knowledge of deity is. You're supposed to wonder about it. And there's no way that I can find directly you'll ever find it answered until you get into the fourth through the 32nd degree. So let's continue with an explanation of that. The Mason joins at the first 3 degrees. By the way, Dr. Stan, my house is being subjected to lightning. It's right outside my door.
That's all right. Let's hope it doesn't strike you while we're talking.
Okay, well, let's hope so, too, because they tell you not to stay on the phone. But I'll just pray that God protects me, because that lightning was just outside my window almost. I can't hear it, but it's very bright. Anyway, okay, now let's continue. So now they say you can stay there, and then if you wish to go on, you have a choice. You can either join the York Rite, or you can join the Scottish Rite. Now, the Scottish Rite is the key, I believe. The Scottish Rite has 29 more degrees for a total of 32, and the York Rite has 10 more degrees for a total of 13. And then on top of that is the 33rd, which is honorary. You cannot become a 33rd unless you're asked. You can ask to become a 32nd, but they have to ask you to become a 33rd. So now, when you go through the 32nd, at the 14th degree, you get a book entitled Morals and Dogma. And in the 14th degree explanation of that degree, the ritual, that's what the book is for, to explain the rituals you went through, it says this on page 321. I'm not joking, this is page 321, and I've had people challenge, even the Masons admit I'm right. I mean, they claim I'm taking it out of context, but here's what it says. Quote, Lucifer the Light Bearer, is it he who bears the light? Doubt is not.
Not to this, they'll not do something else. But Satan gives you freedom. You can do whatever you want. Thank you.
Scientifically impossible. And the way you can know that is because energy is burning itself out. There's two levels. Free, no obligation, postage paid. I'll send it in an envelope. I don't follow up on it. I don't sell your address. I'm not going to use it again. But if you want a copy, please let me know. Call me. If you also want to challenge me, if you're a Mason or you want your documentation, please take it. To the Pope who burned Ogden Lay at the stake. So what you do then is you grab a sword and you take an oath to avenge the murder of Jacques de Molay back in the 1300s by destroying Christianity and government. Now stop and think about this. Christianity cannot create tyranny. Christians don't teach tyranny. They teach freedom.
Between masonry and of course, the skull and bones.
That's what George Bush said on Meet the Press. I remember
right.
That. Okay. My first question, Ralph, is number one. what is a Shriner and what was my father? And my second question, number two, goes back to a discussion you had with Frank Whalen about the symbols on the dollar bill. So my question first is what is a Shriner? And my second question is, can you tell me what the pyramid stands for on the dollar bill? And number two, can you tell me what the eagle stands for on the dollar bill?
We can't get too many because we got a board full. So we'll take your first two questions.
Okay.
What is a Shriner and what's the pyramid stand for?
Okay, Shriners. Shriners are, after you become a 32nd degree in the Scottish Rite or a 13th degree in the York Rite, they have an auxiliary group that is kind of like halfway between called the Shriners. You cannot join the Shriners if you're a Blue Lodge Mason, meaning a third degree. You've got to reach the 32nd or reach the 13th in the York Rite. And once you join the Shriners, they have their own rituals, their own paraphernalia. They wear that fez, that red clay, it looks like a clay flower pot upside down, bright red. They wear that in commemoration of the great victory of the Muslims had over the Christians in Fez, Morocco, in about 800 A.D. And also, they get involved with the East-West Shrine football game. They won something like 22 burn hospitals.
Lodges will not allow blacks in them. They have their Prince Hall lodges special where the black people can be kept in their place. That's where Jesse Jackson has his masonry, but very few lodges are integrated today. Would that be a fair statement, Ralph?
I've heard people say that certain lodges that they're generally their members of, they claim, will allow black people in, but I don't believe that's true. But even if it is, it's only a small percentage. The black lodges are called Prince Hall, and they have to have their I'm
We have their high ranking, such as Pat Robertson, might or probably is a Mason. I was just wondering if your guests had any thought on that. One of the things that just sort of breaks my heart is that I think the 700 Club is a good show and puts a good message out for Christians to live a good life. But there's just something about...
Well, let's get Ralph's response. I mean, there have been a lot of rumors out there that Pat Robertson is a Mason. What would you say to that, Ralph?
Yeah, I know of no documentation for that statement, but there is something that's very incriminating about Pat Robertson that anyone that wants to see it can see it. Pat Robertson is on the cover of something like in February of 1986 of Time magazine. Have you ever seen that portrait?
I've seen it, yes.
Okay, let's talk about that briefly. Because this is very incriminating, and I'm going to tell you what, according to David Weber, I'm going to tell you what Pat Robertson said about it. And there's one more thing we need to talk about.
What did Pat Robertson say about it? There he is on the front cover, and he's got his right arm across his chest, I think, and his fist is over his heart. So
well, it's not really quite a fist. It's a little bit of a... Thank you. David Webb, who said this on the air, he said Pat Robertson told him that he fell off his horse. That means that Karl Marx fell off his horse. Khufu, the pharaoh who built the pyramid, fell off his horse.
Now, wait a minute. What was the significance of saying he fell off his horse?
Well, what he's saying is that his arm was damaged. Like 40 to 60%, but there's no way that I don't think that he could know that. It's probably a guesstimate.
No, I think that. Thank you. nature of this. It's called The Secrets of the Illuminati. There are two-section videos by Bill Snevlin. We offer all of this information and so much more is available from Radio Liberty. If you'd like to know more about it, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Now, if you'd like to get a free newsletter, and we'll send you one of our catalogs, our number 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we hope that you'll go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's we are only called with a man who is said to have killed the president.
Can intimidate you with agents, you know. If you're an assassin, I believe that DeMornschild was a CIA assassin, and that he knew too much.
And I think, of course, the other thing is that he had just been subpoenaed to appear before the House Select Committee that was investigating. This was the last investigation, the investigation that concluded there really was a conspiracy behind what happened. There were not three, but four shots. And then they immediately disbanded the committee, because I think the people on that committee were afraid for their lives. Why else would you disband the committee after coming to the conclusion?
Thank you.
Grandfather by marriage.
Okay, fine.
Was William Gibbs McAdoo, and William Gibbs McAdoo and CIA Director Alan Dulles' uncle, Robert Lansing, under President Wilson, co-founded the Secret Service for the Treasury Department.
Well, who is this who was in charge of a couple hundred CIA agents?
Oh, that was DeMarcio's father-in-law, and that was Samuel Walter Washington, who happens to be descended from President George Washington's brothers on his mother and his father's side.
And of course, Bruce is a genealogist.
Was the uncle of George Herbert Walker Bush's best friend, and that was Edward Gordon Hooker, a member of the New York Stock Exchange. and Edward Gordon Hooker and de Mornschild were in business together in the early 50s when Bush and de Mornschild are working in the CIA. De Mornschild had an office in the CIA Trust Building in Dallas called the Republic National Bank Building.
Well, now, do we actually know that he worked for the CIA? Did he just work in their building?
Oh, no, we know. We know because de Mornschild's father-in-law was in charge of more than 250 CIA agents, and his brother was involved with the CIA, corresponding to CIA Director Alan Dulles 3 days after he took over office. Well, de Mornschild has ties to about 50 or 60 CIA agents. And, you know, and put it together and wrote a whole volume on it, on George de Mornschild and Lyndon Johnson meeting 7 months before the assassination.
That was in April?
April 26th.
Back here in just a few minutes. We'll welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Bruce Adamson is the world's leading expert on George Des Moines Shelton. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this evening is, of course, Bruce Adamson. We're talking about the amazing amount of work he's done on George Des Moines Shelton. So what was the substance of the letters that were going back and forth between Des Moines Shelton and the man who would become the President of the United States, Lyndon Baines Johnson?
Well, Johnson's aide, Walter Jenkins, told Des Moines Shelton if he should come next week, you know, referring to like around April 26th, and the CIA released this memo not knowing these letters existed, that if the vice president has time, he'd be glad to meet you. And he recommends one of the managers, and not only were they friends, but they also knew the mother of Lyndon Johnson's personal secretary, and that was Olga Femer. And Olga's daughter was LBJ's secretary, and she would have
minute. We got to just bring our other stations back online right this minute.
Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Bruce Adamson, the world's leading expert on George Des Moines Shelton. Go ahead, Bruce.
Yeah, another interesting connection about Des Moines Shelton is he was friends with a white Russian named Colonel Michael Paul, who was very prominent at the Museum of Modern Art. and he was in Palm Beach, Pacific Palisades. Well, Colonel Michael Paul gave up his entire estate in Palm Beach to the Kennedys. And here, Oswald's best friend, and happens to be friends with the guy that's letting Jackie and Jack stay at the Cairo, Egypt. And Muhammad Al-Fayed, in 64, this CIA document says he was the senior officer of Egyptian intelligence.
And of course, Al-Fayed believes the CIA.
Thank you.
Right thing to do.
I would never intentionally badmouth somebody or bring up something negative about somebody unless I felt that there was something there. And it's, you know, in the beginning it was very intimidating. And then I just said, well, it's out of my hands. I don't have any, I'm not going to live my life in fear,
Well, of course, you hadn't read that book about the dead witnesses. It's out of print now, but there were over 100 people that knew something about the assassination. All of them died under mysterious circumstances, probably just always all a coincidence. Let's go to Louis, who's calling us from Hoboken. Is that Hoboken, New York?
New Jersey.
Hoboken, New Jersey. Okay.
That's Sinatra. My uncle wrote Sinatra's first Academy Award nomination.
Okay, fine. Well, Louis, do you have a question or comment?
Yeah. A curiosity was, I believe he said in the 70s, Khashoggi was supposed to...
Liberty. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. So Khashoggi called himself the richest man in the world,
yeah.
Really, and I think that that's where the quotation came from. I think he was just bragging a little bit. But anyway, of course, I suppose he's down what to his last 30 or 40 billion now.
Well, I think it's important that he sold his $36 million condominium in New York City that he bought in the 1970s. For half the price 7 months before.
Thank you.
Okay, but his mother is Ruth Forbes Payne. Ruth Forbes Payne is the one of the best friends of Alan Dulles' mother.
With the inquiry of group to one to Thank you.
do you know who Gurdjieff was?
I haven't got the slide. Thank you. Bruce, I wanted you to tell our listeners how they can get copies of your books, how they can get the CD you put out, how they can get the video that you put out.
Well, they can either go to your website, radioliberty.com, or they can go to my website, which is ciajfk.com. But make sure that you mention Dr. Stan so I can make a difference.
Or the CIA was involved in the assassination?
Yeah, I believe that was the backbone, but I think there are a few other motives.
All right, what are the other motives?
Well, I believe that there was a white Russian connection, and like Igor Cassini was friends with Demornschild. His brother was Jackie's dress designer. Igor played tennis with Alan Dulles and the Shah of Iran in Palm Beach.
Well, why was there? What would the white Russians have to do other than?
Thank you. their employees?
I really don't know.
Yes. Well, he sold his company in July of 63.
Okay. Well, let's go to Bill calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Bill. Do you have a question?
Yes. I wanted to ask your guest if he has, he's factored in a lot of things. He's got some really fantastic information. And he mentioned Stalin earlier, and I have read that Stalin was Jesuit educated, and I wonder if that factors into the
people that in the last election that they used subliminal advertising.
Fallen, a light that doth not depart, and a look or a word he hath spoken wrought a flame in another man's heart. And so if we can kindle in your heart the flame that's been in mine for the last four decades, and you can carry on this battle when I'm not here, that's what it's really all about. With an understanding it's a spiritual battle being fought on a political and ideological and cultural battlefield, and so we invite you to join us in this truly spiritual battle for the hearts and souls. Thank you. This information you're not going to get elsewhere. And when you get done, I think you'll be able to convince others that there was a conspiracy behind the assassination of President Kennedy. In fact, the House Select Committee came to that same conclusion. Thank you.